Squashcast is here, and I'm delighted to say that the squad is back to full strength. We start this week by somewhat glazing over the third round of the FA Cup to review the Premier League at the halfway point. Find out who the Kosh think have been the best and worst signings, which manager best understands the league, and which player has displayed the most grit and determination. That's bound to be an Englishman, surely. Elsewhere, we'll make you giggle with Mumu of the Week, glance over at Spain where Barcelona look meek, and then have a Uganda at the African Cup of Nations where we pick one team to go all the way. I very much think it's Zimbabwe or the highway, so someone is definitely gonna take the biss out of me. But eventually, they'll Cameroon to my way of thinking. Let's Moroccan roll. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. For the first time in a while, there are no injuries, there are no suspensions, there are no absences, and everyone is here. Roche?
Hello.
You are back from California.
Yes, I am.
And you're not tanned at all.
I am brown.
He's natural.
So it's really hard to tell.
Fair enough. Mohamed, where are you back from?
Back from sickness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been really sick recently.
You're going to give us all the flu, aren't you?
Yeah, all of you.
Excellent.
Just sniffling next podcast.
Kill him now.
This is the price we pay for recording.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Bernie, how are you?
Scared, because he's sick.
Where did you go? Anywhere?
Mississauga.
Ooh. And yep. You're not tanned either.
No. Contact Mississauga is 30 minutes up the Gardner. So I didn't go anywhere, really. No.
I like how you provided context and then just chucked in the Gardner.
Gardner.
Like,
yeah,
people know.
The Gardner is a highway that leads to Toronto.
Yeah. Context Toronto's in
Toronto
Canada.
Is a place in Canada.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
How are you, Alex?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Where are you coming from?
You went somewhere.
Arizona. Yeah.
And cool. Peterborough.
And Peterborough, which is slightly less glamorous.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
cool.
We've made a conscious decision. We consciously objected to the FA Cup. So we're not going to talk about it. And instead, we're going to go straight to the quiz.
So this quiz brought to you by Quiz Sutton this week. So, you know.
Yeah. Legend.
The most miserable pundit in the world.
Yeah. And also brought to you by Open Sports, the app that allows you to find playoffs. kickabouts and whatever you call them.
Games of pickup football.
Yeah, pickup, exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Pickup football around town. And it's great. Use it for most sports, but we obviously care about
that. It is the winter now, though, so you can find a game indoors or in the secret location.
Yeah, which indoor game do you play, Rashad?
A lot of
No, you don't.
Alright, you guys ready? Let's remind listeners of your buzz-ins. Bernie, Alex, and Rashe.
That was easy.
Well done. Alright, here we go. We got four questions today. Think about it before you buzz in, alright? Take it easy.
Okay. This is a futile piece of advice.
I don't know.
Name three players to score in six consecutive Champions League games. Did I say six players? Three players.
Six consecutive
Champions League games. Stuff.
How many of
them?
Rashe.
Messi, Ronaldo, Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Alright, so you can just guess random players. One of them is correct.
What? Did we get points for one?
Yes.
Did I get one?
Alex.
Ronaldo.
Correct.
Hey.
Anybody else? I'll start giving you some clues. One place for Galatasaray.
Hakan Sükür.
No.
He plays like present time.
Recently.
Oh my gosh.
Bernie.
Burak Yilmaz.
Yes, damn. Correct. And right. One is an ex-Arsenal player.
Thierry Henry.
Nope.
Ooh. Robin Van Persie.
Nope. Alex.
Alexander Leb.
No, he doesn't score a
goal. Hold on. 1 second.
African. Not black.
African.
Yep.
Not black?
Yep.
Who of you has African not black?
Striker.
Striker? Shama?
Yes.
What?
So that's Burak Yilmaz, Marwan Chamakh, and Cristiano.
I'm getting the Ronaldo point.
No, because you guessed like six players.
No, that was three.
Second question.
I'm taking that point.
Three Dutch players to score in a Champions League final. Bernie.
Ugh, frick. Giovanni van Bronckhorst.
No, next.
Champions League final.
Yes, Alex.
Ronald Koeman.
Nope.
What do you mean?
Patrick Kluivert.
Yep, that's one.
I swear Koeman scored in a final.
Nope.
That was easy.
Richard.
Dennis Bergkamp.
Nope.
Koeman did score in the final for Barcelona. That was 92.
Someone else.
That was a terrible
Thank
guess.
You, Ben.
Clarence Seedorf.
Nope. Alex.
Ambassador?
No.
European.
Liverpool player? Richey? No. Brittany? No.
What?
Alex?
Dirk Kuyt.
And a...
He scored in 2007.
A Bayern Munich player against Dortmund.
Iron Robin.
Yep. So that's Kuyt, Robin, Poivert, and according to Alex Kuhn. Alright, question three. What do all these players have in common other than being English? Lampard, Gerrard, Campbell, Rooney, McManaman, and Sheringham.
That was easy.
Failures on an international level.
Well, that would count, but it's not the answer I'm looking for.
Hold on. Say the names again.
Lampard, Gerrard, Sol Campbell, Rooney, McManaman, and Sheringham.
They all made their debuts at 18?
No.
Ooh.
Good guess. It's,
Wait. Sorry, once more.
Lampard, Gerrard, Sol Campbell, Rooney, McManaman, and Sheringham.
Okay, transplants.
No!
Sheringham. I have no idea.
It's got to do with the Champions League.
This is a very Champions League heavy quiz.
Okay, well, no one's going to get this one. They've all scored in a Champions League final.
What? Yeah. Really?
Lampard,
Ivan Campbell?
Sol Campbell.
Yeah.
Oh, 2-1, yeah.
Rooney, McManaman, and Sheringham. All right, Rooney. Last question. Yeah. Name three managers to win the Champions League as a player and manager. Bernie.
Zinedine Zidane.
Yep. Alex.
Guardiola.
Yep. Richey.
He's
nope. Someone else?
Wait.
Alex.
Carlo Ancelotti.
Yep. One more.
What? I thought you said three.
Sure, but there's one more.
Frank Rijkaard.
Yes. That's Ancelotti, Pep, Zidane, and Rijkaard. Well done.
Alright, as we said, we're going to forgo the FA Cup. We are, though, going to do a Premier League halfway point review. Everyone excited?
Very.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Alright. Do a bit better to sound like it.
Jilabuji.
Wow. Okay. We know where Richey's focus is.
Sunderland.
Sunderland and their defence.
Banging for him.
The first thing we're going to do is go through the top six, and we're going to ask some questions.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Chelsea. We'll go in order.
Uh-huh.
What is the best thing about Chelsea so far this season?
Antonio Conte, hands down, everything. Move on. Let's go.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I think the best thing about them is... Well, obviously the formation is a bit different, but that's because of Conte. But I like the Moses, Alonso wingbacks. I think they've been something different.
Okay, but now I'm going to ask you what the worst thing about Chelsea is, and are you not going to say...
Alonso. Yes, but that's just because they're really good.
Okay. It's still David Luiz. I'm sorry, I don't care.
He's been really good.
I hate him.
No, Azpilicueta has been carrying the defense.
Okay, here's my problem, okay? David Luiz has been really good, apparently. But now we're all going to assume that he's a good football player after years of being trash. He hasn't gotten enough back... chips,
okay.
good stuff in him for me to say he's good
chips. But that's,
I couldn't figure out the word.
That's also Conte, though. Conte is the... I mean, if you think David Luiz is bad, I think Marcus Alonso isn't the best, blah, blah, blah. Moses is definitely, you know, not up there.
Moses also, is not a wing back.
Sure. So all that put together, I mean, it comes back to Shea's point of Conte. It's like he's allowed average players to be top of the league.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to skip the worst thing, but I'm going to tell you what I love about Chelsea this season. One is that he has reduced how much of a prick Diego Costa is. He's still a prick,
but
much less.
Agree.
And the other thing is, he's banished John Terry from the first team.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah,
so
then John Terry came back. I know we said we're not going to take up the FA Cup, but he came back and got a red card. Now he's out for 3 games.
I was so happy when that happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, the worst thing about them is...
To Chelsea?
I mean, yeah, but other than that, like, I mean, they're hard to hate this season because Conte is such a nice character. When they had Mourinho, it was easy. Costa, when he used to be a prick, he's a bit better with that now. So there's not a lot to hate about Chelsea, surprisingly.
Don't you hate Pedro's smile?
Yes.
Pedro has a punchable face.
Yeah, he does.
And Hazard is still a bit of a smug, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. He's also slightly not up to the level that he should be at. Right now.
He's doing better than he did last season.
He's quite potent.
Conte, to be fair, is also one of the best things about them.
Yes. That's true. Yeah. Do they need to buy anyone in January?
No.
I was going to go with a centre back, like Font.
What about Zuma's just come back?
Well, that's the thing. With Zuma back, I think Azpilicueta might move back to his wing back, like maybe instead of Marcus Alonso, I think he should take that spot again.
Ooh, okay.
But, so then I thought, you know, Zuma, Cahill, and Luis, forget Terry. So then I thought they might need one more for backup, but they did recall Ake.
Yeah.
So they don't need it anymore.
I don't see that happening. I see Marcus Alonso keeping his spot until he really has a bad game. I don't think Conte is going to... He doesn't change his team. He never didn't do it much at Juventus. He's not going to do it now. I think if they needed something, it might be center mid. I don't really trust Matic that much, to be honest. Even though he's performed pretty well this season, I don't really trust him. So I would either Fabregas. I don't really know what you get. Some days you get the fantastic Fabregas. Some days you don't. I would improve there, but they want to get Fernando Llorente, which I find.
I think they don't have a. I think their backup striker is a bit of a shame. I know Batshuayi. He's a good player, but he's unproven. But like, if Costa gets injured, I mean, the other thing is when Costa was, I think he was on a suspension or whatever. They played a false nine, so yep. they might not need a striker then if that's his next go-to option.
Maybe
especially.
It seems the Batshuayi thing is weird, but we'll see how that plays out. He said he doesn't want to go to Swansea on loan in an exchange deal, which seems fair enough to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, second in the table, Liverpool. What is the best thing about them, Roche?
High energy, like a swarm of bees, just like Dortmund were under Klopp.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Klopp effect again. Like, I mean, if you want to say the best thing about them is Klopp. But I think he's also brought a lot out of players that weren't performing previously. Lallana right now, he's probably one of their best players with Mane. Mane, as a signing, was fantastic by Klopp. So there's a lot of good things about them. Again, another team hard to not dislike, except Henderson, maybe.
And before the season started, we noticed the amount of attacking midfielders they signed, and we questioned that, and we can see how useful it's been so far.
Yeah, because they bought them all so they could sit Daniel Sturridge on the bench.
Yeah,
and, which has been great.
And it has been great. You would not have thought that before the season started, but it has been great.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about this, and you're right that Klopp brings the best out of players that maybe average players or players that haven't done that well, but he gave up on the left back. What's his name?
Moreno. Oh,
yeah. Moreno, he's like, forget it, Milner. Yeah. You're a left back.
That
now.
Is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Milner has played very well in that position, to be fair.
Oh, he's been fantastic. Actually, one of the main features of their play now is, if you watch, is the centre back passes the ball over to Milner. And because he's right-footed, he hits it early because he doesn't have to wait for it to come across. And he goes over the top to Firmino or whoever.
Do you know how many goals Milner has this season?
A lot of penalties. Yeah.
Five. And they're all penalties.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also have to say that we thought their defense would be an issue. But he seems to have slowly started to patch that up.
Matip?
I mean, Matip was a great signing, one of the signings of the season and all that. But he got injured. And then he didn't play for a long time, and we thought, here we go. But then they held their own. Lovren's starting to look a bit more solid. Klavan is slowly getting into it. So credit there, too.
I disagree on that. I think, sure, there's been an improvement in their defense.
Yeah.
But the games that Liverpool have lost is because of, excuse me, absolutely shambolic defending. Bournemouth, was it?
Burnley.
Bournemouth, where they were 3-1 up and they lost it 4-3. I think that was that game where Ake scored at the end.
Yes.
Wow. That was shambolic defending. Arsenal was shambolic defending. There was another game where it was terrible, and it doesn't help them that the goalkeeping situation, which is probably what you're going to ask next, is the worst thing about Liverpool.
Thank you for that transition, buddy.
Please.
Thank you.
speak for me.
They've got two goalkeepers who are about the same standard.
Which is not very good.
It's never a good idea. I mean, I understand why you want two people to push each other, but the problem was, when there's no hierarchy, you're kind of making decisions arbitrarily.
Look, credit to Klopp for dropping his keeper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not often we see. And he did completely drop him. Like, he completely dropped, I can't even remember his name. Karius for Mignolet. And Mignolet started the season really bad. Then Karius played because he was injured. And then now he dropped him again. So, you're right. They're both average at best. But I think Karius was a big reason for that, for a lot of those defensive... I mean, come on. Against Bournemouth... Karius could have saved like two or three of those comeback goals for Bournemouth. So it's like, it's also a little bit down to individual errors, I feel.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's true. Spurs in third?
Yeah.
Thoughts on best thing about them? Are we going to say manager again?
No, Dele Alli.
Okay.
The best thing about them is they're above Arsenal on the table. Surely. Come on.
For them, that might be at the moment.
I'm going to say
the manager, but I'm going to say the fact that they found new ways to play this season. So last season, it was 4-2-3-1 throughout the season. They did really well. They overachieved. And usually a team like that who doesn't invest a lot in the summer, who doesn't really make star signings, they stagnate somewhat. And Tottenham might. We'll see. But the point is that the manager said, we're going to need to find new solutions. And he did it before they ran into problems.
Right. I've got 2 points on Spurs here. The first one is, the best thing about them is their European form. Absolutely brilliant. Well done.
Focus on the Premier League.
Yeah. Focus on the league, because you're clearly not made for Europe. That's number one. Number two. Is they're like, they feel like Liverpool light. They pressure, they try and get the ball off you really high off the field, but they seem to do it with a bit more control slash reserve. Like, they do it when required. Mm-hmm. It seems more a bit more tactical than the whole, like, just go do it all the time.
They have the defense to back it up.
Yeah. Their two defensive mids are so strong in Wanyama.
Yeah. And, literally.
Well, and Dembele or when Dier plays. Wanyama has been an absolute monster
yes,
for them. Yes, 100%. So, that was a big improvement for them in that position.
Yeah, the one thing I like the most about Tottenham is their resolve. They look like a mature team. If you look at the right back, Kyle Walker, so he looks like a mature player now.
Finally.
Yeah.
Danny Rose looks fantastic.
Rose has been unbelievable.
I mean, I think man for man, with the manager, they've got a really, really good team. And they look, unfortunately to say for me, they look so good. They're enjoyable to watch. They've got flair about them. Eriksen on the ball looks so good. Like,
The thing what you're saying is they have a really, really good team. But it's one of those things where you have a really, really good team because the manager has made them better than they are.
Yeah.
It's the same thing we're talking about Conte. We've said about Jurgen Klopp. Pochettino has done the same thing. Because you would never in a million years have told me Kyle Walker and Danny Rose were good players 2 seasons ago. Wouldn't happen. He has made them that way.
Look, you look at the top three teams we've talked about so far, they might not be the top three starting 11s or squads in the league. I mean, it's debatable, but they might not be.
Agreed.
So, but they are the top three of the league. Yeah. I mean, you've got Arsenal in... Is it City in fourth or Arsenal in fourth?
City.
Is it City?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at City squad and you think, well, on paper, with everyone fit, they're a much better squad. But they've had a lot of injuries and their keepers...
We'll get to them. Yeah, saving good stuff for that. We're really going to pound them.
Fair.
All right, worst thing about Tottenham, though, we didn't get to that.
I think it's the lack of competition for Christian Eriksen. Eriksen has like 5 games good, 5 games bad.
Well, Lamella's injured, though.
Lamella is injured, but he tends to play on the right rather than through the middle. And I just think when Eriksen's not on it, they really lack creativity.
I think the Sissoko signing was fantastic.
Surely, the worst thing is Janssen. Come on.
Yeah.
That is bad.
Yeah.
Zero goals from open play in 23
that
games.
That's a lot. I could do better than that.
I would say the worst thing about Tottenham is the way they started the season. Because, sure, they went undefeated for a very long time, but there were too many draws, and it's a similar thing they did last season as well. They seem to start seasons very, very slowly, and then pick it up, and then you wonder if they're going to drop off like they did last season again.
Yeah.
If they can just start the way that they are now, you wonder how close to Chelsea they could really be.
Kane epitomizes that. He always starts every season really slow, and then he ends the season as one of the top scorers. So it tells you, if you had started the first 6-7 games of the season in that same form, he would run away with it every season.
And they're very capable.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Definitely. They're also moving to a new stadium. They're going to be under financial restriction again soon just because of all the money they're putting into there. So they've tied all their players to long-term contracts. Obviously, people are joking around online with Pochettino always smiling in the signing of new players. But that's what you want to do before that move.
Yep,
everybody's on a 4-year contract now. You don't have to worry about people leaving. And you've got that same team for the next, 4 years.
It's true. It's smart management.
Yeah.
Manchester City thought they had the smartest manager in the world.
Yeah.
Did they?
Not the most emotionally smart.
manager, yeah.
What is the best thing about Manchester City this season?
It's tough.
It is.
The best thing is their potential.
Also,
that's true.
The best thing about them is that they are still where they are, even though they've been quite bad.
I would agree.
You have to give them that. They could have slumped more, but they've also beaten Barca like 3-0 in the Champions League. Like, they've
that's
done
the
little
things.
That is probably the best thing this season they've done. But they could have been worse. They're still, they're still in the top four, even though they've, been bad.
Yeah. I think, for me, the best thing is Fernandinho's, like, 3 red cards in, 7 games or something?
Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
The best is how frequently a Man City player has broken the fantasy leagues. And it's usually Aguero.
You know what? Sorry. I think the best thing, and on a good note, is Pep Guardiola's ability to be a big, to handle Yaya Touré's situation very
you
well and turn him into a decent human.
Are reading my mind.
Oh, yeah. Always.
No one's going to think of this point. Well done. Keep going. All right.
What is happening? Okay.
No,
so,
I'm done with that.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, the way he handled Yaya was fantastic because he could have easily spiraled out of control. And now he has to use him. Gundogan's injured. Fernandinho's on a red card the game. So now,
to be fair, Yaya Touré, since he got back, has been their best player.
He's been good.
And that's a sad state of affairs, if you really think about it.
The worst thing about them is the just changing of formation every game. Every game someone new plays. You never know who's going to play. And I think Pep needs to dial down on that a little bit.
John Stones is the worst thing about them.
He's their best defender.
Yeah. Also, Otamendi is the worst thing
about
them.
Yes.
Kolarov. Kolarov is
bad. Kolarov.
We could all pick one defender and they're all
Bravo.
Let's do that.
Bravo. Oh, yeah.
Horrendous.
Bravo is shocking.
Okay. For me, it's the fact that they don't defend as a unit. It's all down to the back four, which is why they're completely exposed. And they're not the best individuals in the first place, so they just get rinsed everywhere.
Another thing that's really poor about Man City is Pep Guardiola's handling of the media. It's been atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. And I listened to Sid Lowe and Rafa Honigstein talk about him in Spain and Germany, and they said he's never been like this. Like, he gets riled up, he says weird things, he has to backtrack them again. He's very, very sensitive and thin-skinned, and I don't understand why he's letting it go.
But he's always been like that. If you look at the Champions League semi-final with Real Madrid a few years ago, where he exploded and called Mourinho the puto jefe.
But he did that on purpose to rile up his own players. That's different. He's out of control.
I think maybe he's trying to rile up the City players, and he's failing miserably.
Maybe.
The league is getting to him. I mean, he's even said he didn't expect it to be this hard. Like, he said in a few interviews where he... I mean, I don't think he used the word underestimated, but... Even Pochettino before the recently in the City or whatever game, I don't remember what it was, but he did say if you come into this league without, you know, without having full kind of appreciation and respect to it, you will get shocked. And I think Pep is slowly realizing that. He's also realizing that the squad of players at City, I don't think are that good.
Like, I mean, we knew that before. Like,
we knew that they're an aging squad.
We said
squad.
It here. Yeah, what he needed to do, yes, and I think he knows that better than
his
us.
His signings have been bad. Okay. I'll give that a negative.
Bravo.
Yes.
Here's my next question is, do they need to buy in January?
Yes.
Well, it's not in January. No. You just, look, you come top four, you ride it out, and work your way in the summer.
The thing is, I believe Man City will be in the top four. I do believe this. But considering that between sixth and fourth is 2 points or something like that, that is, like, that's nervy. I would solidify that back line with a defender or so in order to guarantee it. Don't take it for granted. Don't take any chances when you're already this poor.
The rumor is Bert Stuber on loan. I mean, on loan would do it in January. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
That's fine.
I don't know why they do that. I feel like someone like Mehdi Benatia or something like that, someone with experience who knows how to defend, available. And, but just have a guy who are available. Why not go over him instead of a guy who hasn't played for 2 years?
I don't think you make a rush decision in January. I think you just want to kind of ride it out and then, like, just really look at your squad, start weeding them out in the summer.
I also wonder, too, we talked about how City's defensive issues are possibly, like, as a unit, are collective. So I'm not sure. It's the same with Arsenal. You can replace the defenders, but you see the same problems. Yeah. I'm wondering if this is a personnel issue at all. I'm not sure that if you change the defender, anything particularly improves.
I just don't think that John Stones being a terrible defender has anything to do with the team.
I think Pep has also said, like, he's saying that his players aren't performing what he's kind of telling them to do on the field. And I think he's also trying to introduce a lot of new ideas at once. And maybe the players, they're also like, they're not the youngest of players. Possibly contributes to them having difficulty kind of applying what he's saying at like an older time in their career. So that's I think he's trying to do maybe too much. So, you know, ride it out, do your thing to, like, you know, May, get in top four and then deal with it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on
no.
City?
No. Yeah. No.
All right. Manchester United.
Whoa. Arsenal.
They're not on my paper.
Yeah, sorry. Arsenal is fifth. Okay.
Hold on. Before we begin, I want to say that the best player for Arsenal has been Olivier Giroud.
Okay, if you've watched for the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Sure.
Single-handedly
carrying. We know it's Alexis Sanchez, but we'll just say this. 10 goals in 10 games. For Olivier Giroud.
Oh, yeah.
Very impressive.
He's been fantastic.
But he's only started 2. So, like...
Yeah. And again...
Super sub, yeah.
If Giroud is carrying you, you deserve to be in 5th. It's that simple. Yeah. It's that simple.
Sorry. Just,
anyways, let's...
Arsenal and 5th sound like the strangest thing in the world.
So. Yeah,
it is odd. So, we're all agreed Alexis Sanchez is the best thing about Arsenal this season?
Yes. Not like... There's nothing close.
Koscielny.
Absolutely nothing
Koscielny's close. Also
that one Koscielny, finish. Yeah. That one finish when he scored that hat-trick and he did the step over before...
Ooh. Against West Ham.
Sorry, you talked about Giroud and I didn't talk about the scorpion kick Golasso.
Yeah, that was, I mean...
But we'll probably get on to that.
I've scored a better one, to be fair.
Okay. Get out of here.
We tweeted this on New Year's Day.
Yeah, we tweeted because it was a lie. Just to expose you to the world.
I remember
So anyways, back to the format, I guess. Arsenal. The best thing about Arsenal... It's tough. Like, I mean, Sanchez, surely, but as an individual. But, like, as a team, I mean, it will be, I think, has been a bright spark. Just a young guy coming through, playing well. I mean, he's been, again, thrust into the deep end, the way we do with all our youngsters. We kind of, Wenger throws him in and expects him to do miracles right away or else. Because we don't have a team of very experienced players that are good. No, as in, we're not on amazing form and you pepper them with the youngsters. The youngsters come in and they're expected to perform right away. And... It will be, I think he's done as good as he can.
He's been good, yeah.
I think what we're missing here is, and I don't know, he's been okay, but Arsenal's record with Mustafi in the team is what, 17 games, no losses or something?
Yeah,
like
he hasn't
that?
Lost a game yet.
So, I mean, I don't know how much you read into these types of things, but he's been a decent $35 million defender.
Yeah, he's been good, yeah.
He's been a good signing. He's been better than Koscielny's previous partners for the last few years. Sure. amongst others. But
that's
I mean, Mohamed will agree that we've watched games with Mustafi in it, in which Arsenal have conceded 5 or 6 very good chances and have been very lucky, even Ludogorets, that they haven't taken them.
The Mustafi thing is more of a stat, a Twitter thing, but like if you watch a bit closely, he doesn't fill me 100% with confidence still. Like, no. He's not a Koscielny, not even close, right? But
he's got a few years to go.
He's got a few years, yeah.
He's his understudy.
The one thing, the one positive before we go into the negatives is that Arsenal this season have shown the ability to come back in games. Yes, it means that they've performed shambolically in the first half, but there's a lot of games this season that they would not have drawn or won at the end. You know, the Drew has saved us 2 games in a row at home at the Emirates. The Bournemouth game, it's not a positive and more that it's just, it's different than previous seasons.
There's a bit of resilience in there. I mean, you can make the point that Arsenal have always had rough Novembers.
Yeah.
And this season, they actually had a very good November.
Also finished December.
Finished top of the Champions League group.
It just got postponed.
That's true.
Top of the Champions League group. Yeah. We still got Bayern.
So, it's just never ending for you guys.
I saw a tweet today. It was like, because the FA Cup 4th round draw came out, and it was like, all these games and then Arsenal versus Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the Bayern Munich Twitter account that said, before the draw, should we just book our tickets to London now?
Yep.
And they tagged Arsenal, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, for me, the worst thing about Arsenal is there is no tactical flexibility. It's the same formation every week. There's no... I'm not going to say...
So the manager,
plan B,
basically.
There's just... At this point, when every other team can play multiple systems, you need to be able to change it if it's not working, and Arsenal can't.
No, but even the plan A, in quotes, isn't a plan. Like, it just passed through a guy in red and see kind of what happens until the ball gets to Sanchez. Like, it's still not a plan. I don't think we even have a plan A, to be honest, other than, you know, go out and win a game of football within the rules.
I think the worst thing about Arsenal is the fact that for somehow they have made the media believe every season that it's different than the last. Every
That's
time
bigger.
The
yeah.
pundit comes out and says, they have a resilience that we haven't seen before.
I mean,
they suck in November, but then they have a crappy December. It's like, yes, things are different, but the overall narrative is going to be the same.
You know what,
and that is the worst thing about Arsenal.
That is an excellent point you bring up.
Thank
the
you.
Optimism that all Arsenal fans have, and the pessimism that they have in the spring.
At the same time.
I'll tell you my opinion on why this happens, is the same thing that I said about City, is because people believe it's personnel. People see Arsenal making big signings now, and they think, oh, that's what we needed. No, the fact is, the problems are systemic.
People are asking questions right now. Ozil came out recently saying, I will sign a new contract. If they're attributing it to Arsene's future.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually, you know how much Ozil is loved within the Arsenal fan base. Like, this is, it's crazy fan base stuff, right?
Yeah, it's quite
like
is,
it's, yeah.
Yeah.
If we come up with a song for you, you know.
Yeah. So,
yes.
So the fact that people are debating whether to allow, like, would you let Ozil go if it means Wenger goes? And if you're getting answers of, you know what, yeah, it shows you how much we believe the system is in trouble. There is no point in having Ozil for another 100 years and still not winning trophies.
Well, if Ozil, if we agree that you need fresh ideas, Arsene Wenger needs to go, it has to be flexible, but Mesut Ozil wants Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
There's something that people have been saying, that it's systemic. The type of players, like you said, he's systemic, but the type of players who are at Arsenal are the type that don't have, if you want to believe it or not, mental strength, or don't have the will for the fight. And if Mesut Ozil is really that ingrained in the Arsene Wenger camp, that probably is true.
Yeah, you think Ozil wants Simeone to come and tell him to run around the field? There's no chance. Sanchez is the only one that's recently been showing that frustration at the fact that they're not winning. And I think he's one of the characters that is very different than most people around him in the squad.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just off to fantasize about a Diego Simeone-Alexis Sanchez partnership.
That could be fun.
Oh,
what else? Do we need to buy?
No. Personnel makes no difference.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
You need to sack Wenger mid-season.
Yeah.
I mean, Wilshere would have been nice to have now. Yeah.
You
but
can recall
than
him if you sack
him in the morning.
Why do you mean you can't?
It's a clause that you can't recall him.
Really?
Yeah, because we're idiots.
Oh. Yeah, sacked in the morning.
Manchester United.
How you doing?
Weird one.
What's the best thing about you?
Weird one. Because Zlatan is fantastic. Pogba's playing very well. Michael Carrick is sensational. But then there are problems. but those problems are no longer there. So I don't know what to say. Like, was crap, but now it's good. I don't understand.
Our season can be encapsulated with Bernie's thoughts about our team. You know, over the course of the 19 games, there was a spell where Bernie absolutely wanted Mourinho's head.
Yeah.
And he was ragging on Zlatan. Pogba wasn't performing. But now they are, and they've won 8 games in all competitions in a row, which is the first time they've done that since, like, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And things are actually looking good.
Mourinho has turned it around, to be fair to him. And, look, he's technically a new manager in the league. I mean, you know, yes, he's... Whatever. You know my point.
Yes.
And he bought 4 new players who are all very important to the team.
Yep.
So, it will take a while for them to gel. I mean, Mourinho's... Supposedly, this has been horrendous and it's been really bad. 2 points away from Arsenal, 4 away from City. Like, it's not the end of the world. And yeah. I think it's the bar that Mourinho sets because of the way he is, his character, that people like to get at him. But he's doing okay right now.
Yeah, and one of the other points is that there were several home draws that United had.
That they dominated.
That they dominated. And the opposition goalkeepers were, you know, Jesus himself. Like, so that was at least 6 to 8 points dropped right there.
It's if you think about it in a weird way, there's 6, 2 points off fourth or something like that. And yes, we talked about those 4 games, especially Arsenal, Stoke, Burnley, West Ham, that they should have won, and they would be second if they won those games. But this is not a hypothetical situation; yeah. It's real life. But the crazy thing is, if you really look at it objectively, Manchester United have been better than Man City and Arsenal this season in terms of performances. They absolutely have been better than both of those 2 teams, and that's the cluster of this Premier League is very interesting.
Yep.
Because Arsenal had a good run after they lost to Liverpool.
Great run.
City had a great run to start the season. Tottenham were on a great run. Chelsea were on a great run. Liverpool, everyone's had their runs. And now, they're all even.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would say, if you look at it over the course of it, Manchester United have played better than those two.
Yeah, also, yeah, sure. I like that Mourinho has used quite a few players as well. Like, he hasn't stuck to... yes, he was trying to find it. But even after he's found his 11 in this 8-game winning run, I remember a game where he started Lingard... And I think Martial on the wings, that they hadn't played in like 3 games just to rotate during the Christmas period. Yeah. Zlatan, though, is the weird one. He plays every minute of every game at 35 years old. Yes, he doesn't run around a lot, but he's been really good. I mean, he's proven again to us that Zlatan does what Zlatan wants, and he's top scorer of the Premier League at 35.
Is he top scorer?
Well, he's like a goal.
He's like second.
Yeah, he's been fantastic apart from that run of games in which Manchester United looked bad and he seemed to lose... All his confidence.
He couldn't finish a thing.
It was bizarre. That was very strange. I've literally never seen that happen to him throughout his career.
Yeah.
So that was very weird. But he's come back from that. He's been fantastic. For me, the best thing, and this alludes to your point, is Rojo and Jones.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Wow. What a combo.
Shocking. Yep.
Yeah, and now Rojo's injured and Bernie's actually thinking, we needed Rojo.
Well, to be fair, he's been fantastic.
Yes.
Except... for his 2-footed lunges that have gone unnoticed.
Except he shouldn't have played all season, basically.
Yeah.
Worst thing about United, Mourinho's character sometimes, basically, like, he's a bit annoying.
Rui Faria.
I'm not buying the Mourinho character.
Rui Faria looks like Joey Barton. I just can't stop looking at him.
Yeah. He looks very sad. He needs to smile a little more.
My worst thing isn't his character, because he's been no worse than Guardiola. My worst thing about Man United is Mourinho. in terms of... He started with playing Fellaini.
Yeah.
And his treatment of Mkhitaryan. Yeah. For me, maybe it was justified. I don't care. Mkhitaryan should have been on the pitch. He slagged off Luke Shaw and Chris Smalling for being injured. So when they were going through that rough patch, his treatment of the players, is my worst thing.
But that's the thing. Mourinho has a tendency to throw people under the bus. Like, when things start to go wrong. And it's not good. It doesn't help when you... Like, I don't know, like, he called people fat, he made fun of them for being injured, he absolutely annihilated Bastian, Mkhitaryan, like, he played, you know, after that Fellaini came on and then you guys conceded that penalty, next game, it was like 88th minute, he brought him on, and you know, he brought him on just to prove
yes,
and then
that
he praised him, and then he said the fans are starting to realize how good he is, but they're not.
More thing is how Rooney has been, you know, kind of, everyone was talking about dropping Rooney. And then now no one's talking about Rooney not even being in the starting lineup.
That's very true.
To be fair, and I will be that fair police for Wayne Rooney, is now the lead scorer for Manchester United, very well deserved.
Yeah.
Let's not slag him off.
I think he's doing his role. I think he's been quiet. He hasn't been, like, you know, too loud in the media. He's doing the role that is asked of him.
And he loves a role.
He does.
He does. He does. An egg roll, a sausage roll.
Any signings?
That was easy.
Any signings?
None.
You've spent enough.
Yeah, I think
there's actually no Manchester United squad is actually very, very
good. Probably sell one of these players, to be fair.
Ashley Young.
Yes, my God, please.
Well, Depay's going. Yeah, Schneiderlin's going.
Sure.
So.
Schneiderlin, Depay, and Young.
All right. Well, that's the top six. I think we'll leave it there. Let's more generally in the Premier League, who has been the best player for you?
Diego Costa, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah,
Sanchez, I think, has been up there, especially that he's not a striker to begin with.
Yeah, well, he is now.
No. Yeah, like
for me, Eden Hazard.
Really?
Wow.
Give him an inch and a goal will happen.
For someone else.
Yes. But because of that.
Ibra.
That's a good shot.
Good shot.
Yeah.
That's a good
shot. I think, Kante, like, you start getting into obviously the midfield and stuff, but, like, if you're going to focus on the goal scorers, it's.
Before the pod, Alex was on my case for slagging off Liverpool because they've all been good. So I'm going to collectively say Liverpool's front line is one of the best players in the league.
I think you can pick up Mane. I think you can pick up Mane out of that. Mane's been their top scorer and he's been quite good.
Although, to Bernie's point, Klopp did once say gegenpressing is the best playmaker in the world.
Yeah, so let's go with gegenpressing. Klopp, whatever best you player. Just said. Yeah.
Okay. Best goal?
Giroud.
Ooh.
Is Giroud, though.
Ooh.
It is.
Ooh, I was running around my apartment.
but the thing is, it's the context of the goal.
Yeah.
In that a week before, Mkhitaryan scored a scorpion kick that was offside.
Mm.
But it was still fantastic and we raved about it. So Giroud comes and scores one from further out.
Yep.
Kind of lobs a keeper off the bar. I love when they're off the bar. And by the way, and it was Giroud.
Yeah.
So like it, all these things put together.
The build up. He started the whole. The counter attack was nice, fantastic. Like even if that goal hadn't ended up in that flick, it would have still been washed a few times just for the counter attack. Yep. I mean, he flicked it. He sprinted the fastest I've ever seen him run. It's like he knew that was about to happen.
Yeah.
And then the finish. Obviously, when it goes off the bar, it's something
else. Let's not forget Henderson versus Chelsea. The curler.
The curl was beautiful, I agree. Yeah. Mane against Arsenal first day of the season as a new signing.
Magic.
Yeah.
I before I chose that one, I was going to play devil's advocate and say Marcus Rashford off Ali Al-Habsi's error.
That was FA Cup.
Oh, sorry.
But
but the one against West Ham then.
What did you call Ali Al-Habsi after that?
Ali Al-Oopsi.
Wow.
That was easy.
Best signing. Mane is up there for me.
I've got two. Matip, free, is incredible. And Wanyama.
Wanyama. Like,
come on.
If you're going for free, you go for the 35-year-old lead striker, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who has flattened everybody.
I think Kante's up there.
Which is fun to watch.
Here's the reason I don't go for Zlatan, is because only United could have got him. You know what I mean? Like, there's no research in that. There's no scouting. There's no plan. Like, he's free. Yeah. I'm Mourinho. He loves me. We got him.
And I can pay $300,000.
If he went to Arsenal, Wenger's personality would have been overshadowed.
No, but this is my point. He wouldn't have gone to Arsenal. It's not possible.
Joel Matip was in Germany. So only Jürgen Klopp would have seen him play.
Oh, come on.
It's easy for him.
No.
How is that hard? Karius was the same thing. Those are easy guys. He knows them, so I'm going to bring him because he's free.
They're easier for him, but he's still one of Europe's best centre-backs on a free transfer, and everyone is scouting the Bundesliga.
I think Kante, we don't think about him as a new signing because like he did it the exact same thing for Leicester, moved within the league. I think Kante has been so phenomenal for Chelsea. Kante as an individual has the most Premier League wins all calendar year over teams, like full teams.
I'll say one thing about Zlatan. Did you think he would have the impact that he's had so far on this team?
I thought he'd do very well.
I didn't doubt him.
Zlatan is an absolute legend.
I know we all believe that he's great, but there were so many people that said 35-year-old coming from a terrible league in France, he would not do it in the Premier League, but he has done it.
I'll tell you this. He maybe has done it more in terms of he's the man, but before seeing how United played, and as in they started the season really bad, everybody expected United to look really good, and I just thought Zlatan is just going to finish off all that fluid stuff. I thought Mata, Mkhitaryan, Pogba, they're going to be buzzing around, and Zlatan's just going to boom, 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 boom.
Well, he did in the beginning, because he scored 7 and 8.
That's what I expected of him anyways,
He's there to throw the house around.
Worst signings?
This one's fun.
Janssen, we talked about.
He's up there.
Ayew.
I'm going to go with all of West... Okay, can I read you through West Ham signings?
Please do.
I may have missed one or two out, but here we go. Lanzini. I mean, he was good last season, but shit this season. Nordveit. Terrible.
Yeah.
Fuguli.
Has he played the game?
He's barely played. Kayeri, whatever. Yeah. Hasn't played.
Calamari.
Gokhan Touré.
He's played a few games, but he's horrible.
The wrong Gokhan. That's a wrong Gokhan.
You still missed out the greatest one. Or two.
Oh, Zaza.
Actually, you missed an even greater one.
Who?
Arbeloa.
Ooh. No.
I mean, has there been a worse transfer window by a team?
Hey, they also offered $3 million for Snodgrass and six yes. million
for
Defoe. For
Defoe.
Defoe.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, I think West Ham should collectively get the worst transfer yeah. Committee in the world.
For sure.
Yes,
for
but,
sure.
Honorable mentions: Stekelenburg.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Awful.
Bravo, definitely.
Bravo, yes.
Well, Bravo, he's, I mean, I think that's
Stones. Stones.
I don't care if he comes good, he's hit now.
John Stones.
Yeah, he's been bad.
47.
No, look, guys, don't go with potential, don't go with history,
sure.
Go with right now, are you good? Sure. No, they're all trash.
Okay. Just, other than the FA Cup this weekend, Ahmed Musa.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's
I'm
been
sorry,
bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's been bad.
Look, the time he skinned Bellerin is all I need.
It's
that's
like,
all I need.
In the preseason friendly or whatever, whatever. Yeah. Okay, what else we've got here? We've got most grit and passion.
Yeah. Who's showing the most grit and passion?
Fernandinho.
Just for getting sent off for
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Aguero, great. Surely. The way he kicked David
Ooh.
Luiz.
So Man City...
That was great because it was David Luiz being kicked.
Yeah, is there not one English player that has shown a lot of grit and passion?
Noble.
Mark Noble. Yeah, to come back from injury. He's
yeah.
been very determined.
Jordan Henderson.
Someone in Stoke. Surely.
Nope.
No.
Do you have someone, or are you asking?
No, I'm still under the
Lee Cafferbaugh.
Sanchez always sells
yeah,
passion.
Yeah.
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 I expected Granit Xhaka to show more passion.
Wait,
he has. He's got like 3 red cards.
Okay.
Englishman.
Well, I'm just wondering, is there an... Because, okay, the reason this question is in there is because people always talk about the English players having grit and determination and the foreigners don't. And my question is there an English player that has...
shown that.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not sure England's actually shown
oh,
grit and determination
that?
For years, mate. I actually think about
I think,
it.
I think Conte.
Who's that
Who?
Striker
Conte,
for Burnley?
Like the manager.
Oh.
Vokes?
Yeah, Sam Vokes, surely.
Sure.
Sure.
He looks like a dirty guy.
Like,
get
a,
down,
like a dirty unit.
You know, Danny Rose.
Sure.
I'm not buying that. He's kind of silky in some ways, though. He's fast and...
Yeah, but he like throws himself...
Henderson.
Yeah.
Henderson, yeah.
Has he got a red card yet?
No,
he doesn't. Vardy, Jamie Vardy has the most grit and passion of any English player, and that tackle was horrendous.
Oh, right, yeah, that tackle. Okay, sure.
Tackle. He's got a passion for.
I think we've misunderstood grit and passion to turn into like who got the most red card.
We're trying very
yeah.
hard here.
Roy Keane,
always
definitely.
Yeah, get out.
His spirit is still there.
Yeah. Anything else? Top four predictions, really quickly.
No,
are Chelsea going to win the league?
Yes.
Yes.
They
know,
are,
actually.
Everybody.
Yes. I think they're going to drop some points.
I don't think they won the league.
I don't think
oh,
so.
Interesting. City top four?
Sorry. Hold on. You don't think they win
don't
the
ask me who's going to win
no,
the
I
league.
Don't think
no, but
win.
Then you have to tell me something.
Spurs.
Arsenal fans.
The silence.
The podcast
wow.
was silent. For, I don't know.
I'm
guys,
trying to
we'll
jinx.
See you next week.
He was,
because
he
need
was,
to recover.
He was biting
this.
His nails when he said that.
I'm trying to jinx, but I think I don't think
we're
Chelsea are going to win.
We're done with you. We're done with you.
My suspension.
I'm going to get off this topic because it's useless.
Yes.
And
right.
I'm going to ask you,
yes.
which manager has shown the least understanding of the Premier League?
Bob Bradley, surely.
David Moyes?
Bob Bradley. Sure.
Come on.
Okay, Bob Bradley, then Pep Guardiola, then David Moyes.
Okay.
David Moyes got results.
Yeah. David Moyes has
been. Rashane defending David Moyes
oh,
is the greatest
Mark Hughes.
Thing
they might end up in Europe next season.
Can I tell
right?
you who it is? Mark Hughes is a good shout. I'm going to tell you who it is.
Pardew.
Yes. Alan Pardew.
Yeah, Alan Pardew.
He got
you're
sacked because
right.
he tried to play good football.
Yeah.
It's Alan Pardew.
You're right. I totally agree.
All right. Who has shown the most understanding of the Premier League?
Arsene Wenger.
Antonio Conte.
Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Only because Conte had to get thrashed
Pochettino.
In order to start playing well. Jurgen Klopp, they've been playing well since the beginning.
Yeah, but it's his first season.
I'm saying understanding. Klopp learned from last season.
I think
no?
Pochettino has understood it since last season.
Yeah. Well, since the December of last season.
Yeah, sure. I mean, what's his name? Eddie Howe?
Yeah, Eddie Howe's a good shot. Yeah.
Yes, he's done very well.
He has done well.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
Coleman? Yeah. Coleman's getting
nah.
there?
No, he has shown none.
Maybe he...
None.
No,
that team has been trash. They should be a lot better than me.
Mate, when you agree to spend $30 million on Bolasie, forget about it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Has Tony Pulis shown a good understanding of the Premier League?
Yes.
Considering where West Brom are right now.
Hey,
yeah.
Chadley? Oof, what
mate,
a signing,
Phillips?
Mate.
He was the best signing of all time.
Yeah, he was voted the best signing of all time 3 months in. All
right. I think we should end this on Tony Pulis. I think it's a good place to
actually,
leave.
Speaking of Tony Pulis, who's going to get relegated?
Not Tony Pulis, he never gets relegated.
Swansea?
Yeah.
Hull?
Hull are down.
Yes.
I think Swansea and Hull are going down.
Yeah.
Now, we got to pick one more.
I think Burnley are going down.
Burnley is a good shout.
I kind of hope
Tom Heaton though, Superman.
Crystal Palace go down.
No, not hope.
Okay. Well, not with Allardyce.
Yeah, not with Allardyce.
That's why I hope they go down.
He has not done well so far in two games. To say
true.
I have faith that Moyes can still screw this up.
No. Moyes is going to end up in Europe then.
There's something about Sunderland where they just refuse to go down no matter what. Like, I think Sunderland are the scourge of this podcast.
There was a year that they were bottom at Christmas and they didn't get relegated.
And no one's ever done that or something.
That was Sam Allardyce.
They're the only team to do that.
Yeah.
All right. And on the prediction that Roche made that Sunderland will be in Europe, let's go to Moo Moo of the Week.
Happy Moo Moo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
So I hope everyone enjoyed the Mumu special that we did. Our Mumus of 2016. We already have some great 2017 candidates. So just in case people don't remember, a Mumu is a fool, an idiot. And we highlight those fools and idiots based on their activities off the pitch. And we're going to start with Paul Merson, who, if we did this in the 90s, would have been a season regular all the time.
He was definitely a regular somewhere.
Exactly. Was, yeah. Regular at the pub. But so we weren't going to talk about the FA Cup, but he gives us a great reason to. So Paul Merson's a moo-moo because he was asked to tell us who he would put a few quid on to win the FA Cup. And this is what he had to say.
The FA Cup, give us three teams that you might have a couple of quid on. Everton, definitely.
They lost 2-1 to Leicester.
Stoke.
They lost 2-0 to Wolves.
And I will go Bournemouth.
Who got obliterated 3-0 by Millwall.
Well done. He's broke now.
Absolute. I mean, if you put a few quid on those teams, each and every one of them, you have no quid left.
The problem is, like, there are probably hundreds of white men around England listening to him and taking every word that he says as gospel. Yeah.
Probably drinking Pims on a Sunday.
No.
Yeah, just put a couple of quid there. Yeah, it's like,
I mean, I mean...
Yeah, I mean,
is there anything we can say about this guy?
No.
Because he's special, isn't he?
He is.
He forgets his own name on TV. The guy is not well.
Who's worse? Is it him or Chris Kamara?
I love Chris Kamara. He's a legend.
Chris Kamara's funny.
Yeah.
This is sad.
Yeah. I got another Moomoo. This guy on Twitter. So what he's done is he's come up with a brilliant way to save all his porn links.
Hmm.
So he didn't want to save them on his computer, obviously. So what he did is he thought, okay, Neymar has 60 million followers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He never reads his DMs. I'm just going to put him in Neymar's DMs. So he literally tweeted Neymar a message. And he said, all right, man, you're never going to see this anyway. So I'm just going to use this to store all my porn links. And every time he sees a nice one that he wants to remember for later, he posts it on there. And then 6 porn links in, Neymar literally comes back with, ha, 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 all in caps.
So he literally slid into Neymar's DMs with some porn.
Literally.
Like, do you reckon Neymar watched it?
I reckon he had to click at least once.
Allegedly.
That would get you in jail.
Would it?
I mean, come on. If I send a girl porn all of a sudden, I'm going to jail, no?
I don't think you go to jail.
You can't go to jail for that.
Yeah.
Can't you?
You'd
be. Isn't there some law?
Brady's
not
good at ideas here. Brady's like, damn it, I stopped myself all these years.
Yeah. All I can say is, it goes down in the DM, it goes down. You guys want to sing him?
No, sorry. No.
It's on the Moomoo now.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm calling the Kosh lawyers right
Yellow
now.
Yellow card.
Abi Moomoo. One thing we are no sha, Moomoo no fit sleep forever. One day, Moomoo go wake up.
Let's go to La Liga.
Speaking
a little bit, we'll get to that for sure.
Agreed.
A few scores. Barcelona drew to Villarreal 1-1 away.
Oof.
It's one of those stadiums where they don't do very well, like Sevilla, like, you know, Atleti.
Sociedad.
Yeah, Sociedad. And Barcelona have been very disappointing this season. They're something like 6 points away from league leaders Madrid, are they? Yeah, they're, what's that like? They're 5 points away from league leader Madrid, who have a game in hand, and they're sitting in third. Sevilla are second. So Luis Enrique's job, I think, is in big jeopardy.
They also have an extra game played than Madrid. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They're terrible. Yeah.
So, just to talk about the game itself,
A very brave soul on Twitter, former friend of the cautiously say former friend because he used to tweet us a lot, but he doesn't anymore. Raymond.
Mm.
So he suggested
unacceptable.
That Messi is the best. Did you see this?
Yes.
Best player in the world, but he said Messi's positioning and lack of will to defend is one of the reasons why they get hit on the counterattack so many times. It's a problem for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Now I accept what you're about to say, but is there something to it?
Okay, so there isn't something to it. One, because if you watch the tactical analysis that people do with Barca after they lose every game, it's their midfielders press so much that when that first press gets beat,
okay. mm-hmm.
that's it. It's over. You've got Busquets, Iniesta, and whoever plays there, who is absolutely useless regardless of who it is. If
Rakitic?
It's Rakitic, or if it's Andre Gomes, or however they like to say it. They get beat on that first pressure, and it all falls apart.
Here's my question to that. Busquets is not supposed to be that first wave, surely.
Messi is supposed to be the first wave.
Isn't Busquets the one that's there after you get beaten by that first
Something's
pass?
Off. Yes. Something's off. I mean, he hasn't won. Busquets hasn't been in form, for sure.
He is not.
Yep.
Luis Enrique also hasn't been setting up his team well. Like, Messi comes in so much into the middle because nothing else happens. Messi literally creates. He assists, he pre-assists, he scores. And I don't care, like, about Messi and whatever, but, like, they need to share the love.
What?
Suarez and Neymar have been so bad. Underperforming.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Well, Neymar's been horrendous.
Neymar has
11 Suarez games. 11 games with no goal, Neymar.
Are the Toronto has better stats than in this
You know
season?
What it is? It's the whole the tax thing that revealed everyone.
Maybe.
The Pelican Papers.
Maybe.
And then that's it. Since
but,
then, he's
just... But is there not the Pelican?
No.
I doubt it's called the Pelican.
Is there not the point that, forget Messi... We know Suarez will chase everything.
He doesn't.
And the press is supposed to come. Those three are not doing their job that they did last season.
Look. There was a moment in the Villarreal game. I know it seems like it's Messi-centric, but I was watching. It was like the 70th minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to you, Messi was running from the right through every defender as Villarreal were passing the ball around. He ran. He chased the ball all around the field. Neymar was standing there watching him do it. No offense. You know how I like my peasants versus my, you know, big guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Messi should just stand there while Neymar does all the running. None of the what I saw was unbelievable. Like Neymar really has to step up because he's been disappointing and the fans have been on his back recently.
Neymar.
Fair enough.
Neymar.
Anyways, Madrid won 5-0. Oh, sorry. Messi's free kick.
That was great.
Oh,
upper 90.
That you know when you say top bins?
Yeah.
Like the ball could not have been in the corner anymore if you placed it there with your hand.
I believe that was the proverbial postage stamp.
It was a postage
stamp. It's kind of
the
annoying.
The queen got hit in the face.
In the nose.
It's just annoying if you're a Barcelona player or fan rather, and you think, we spent all this money on Neymar, on Suarez, on if you want to even say Rakitic, if you want to say these other guys, and you go, well,
bro.
Well,
you go, well, they won the treble last season.
Not last season, season before.
No, last season.
No.
2014.
15. Absolutely 15. Not. They 15. Won it in 15. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. Look,
anyway.
Sorry.
Sorry. There are no Barca fans thinking we wasted money on Neymar and Suarez.
Yeah, but you're right.
I think there are about Neymar. They complain about Neymar
week to week.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You're right about a point, though, in the transfers. Other than Neymar and Suarez, I think they've been very, very... I know, underwhelming signing. Yes, yes. Look, you want to talk about Andre Gomes and his potential? I don't care. Barcelona are a team that want to win the treble every season, and that's not the kind of signings you
make.
Let
me ask you a question before we go on to Real Madrid, because I know we don't have much time. How many seasons has Neymar been there? 3?
Yeah.
How many has he been really good?
One and a half.
Yeah. So far, it's not really working out.
Really good for Brazil, though.
But it's not working out, is it?
No, but you allow the 6 months to a year transition period. He's coming straight from Brazil.
True.
And given he came from Brazil... No. Because he's been brilliant. He's now tailing off a little bit. But it's like, it's a different ball.
Brilliant?
He's not superhuman.
Everyone talks about coming from Brazil or whatever.
He's
still playing
like
on a soccer field.
He's also 22 or whatever he is.
But he's also overshadowed by the fact that Real Madrid, who we're going to talk about now, and the guy's injured, but if you look at Gareth Bale's trajectory, even though I believe, statistically, Neymar and Gareth Bale are probably the same, if not Neymar is better, but impact performance on the pitch relative to the superstar that they have, Neymar is lacking.
But experience. And like he has, to be fair, come from Brazil. He was playing against Farmers.
I think
soccer field is a soccer field
anymore. But Real Madrid.
What do you mean soccer field is a soccer field?
He comes from Brazil. He
okay,
plays
so
on a soccer
player,
field.
Yes,
player under 20 player striker instead of Zlatan.
No, that's player
Why?
Quality.
Oh,
we're talking about adjustment.
Okay, let's move on to Real Madrid here, because there's some good stuff to talk about here.
Well, I mean, Zidane is still on a roll. Unbelievable unbeaten run, 39 games. That's incredible.
If this role goes on for much longer, Rooney's going to want crack at it.
He's gonna eat it.
Yeah, so I mean, they've been doing well. Ronaldo won the hashtag the best player in the world. What is it? Is it like
trophy? Is that one done now?
Yeah.
Best player and the Ballon d'Or he won?
He won that today.
Okay, so the only thing I want to say about Ballon d'Or is, we talked about this on the thread, was Real Madrid love to make an event out of everything, right? And obviously, this is 4 Ballon d'Ors. Amazing. So Ronaldo brought us 4 Ballon d'Ors. And then they brought out the last living Ballon d'Or winners at Real Madrid. Well, players who played for Real Madrid.
They brought out
Zinedine Zidane. A guy whose name I can't remember.
Gento.
No, not him.
Di Stefano.
No, not him. So anyway, but they brought Figo, Zidane, Kaká.
Ronaldo. R9.
Hold up. There was Cannavaro.
R9.
Zidane. Yes. And then the last guy, Kaká, was Michael Owen.
Right.
Who doesn't belong in this list?
And then a Ballon d'Or winner?
Michael Owen?
Yeah.
Of course, 2001. That's when they did the cup treble.
Did you see Owen tweet about Ronaldo?
What did he say?
He said, so R9, he tweeted about R9 with a picture saying, like his official tweet saying, I thought I put on a few pounds.
Ooh.
I was like, why? That is savage. So... I mean, I know you have no way with words. We all know that. But like, come on.
Let's be real now. Ronaldo was exploding out of his suit.
Oh, he's a fat. He's a fat git. It's just you're Michael Owen. Like, you have... Anyway,
Michael Owen with the best goals to game ratio, even though I agree with you, that's how he's thinking.
Mate, Adebayor had one in two.
Listen, I hate this Ronaldo fat jokes thing. I'd love to beat on the guy, but it's really, but all these fat people don't have a Ballon d'Or and one of the best strikers in the world. Like, the guy has a gland problem. And
is it really?
Yes, it
or
is.
Or is it a drinking food and prostitute problem?
No. The thing about it is...
He can do whatever he wants.
The thing about it is, his suits need to be a little more, customized. Sure. He needs a little mascot walking around him with a tuba.
Wow.
That's how bad it is.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, anyways, let's move on because, like, it's so unfair. The guy's done everything possible and now we make fun of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's fat Ronaldo now.
Yeah.
Alright, Sevilla are in second. They smashed Sociedad 4-0 away. And let me just talk about Prandelli.
Sevilla are above Barcelona?
Yes. Yes. Sami Nasri is above Barcelona.
Sociedad are like fifth.
Oh, Sami Nasri's drip doctors. Everyone saw that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. We can move on from that. Prandelli has resigned from Valencia. He basically walked away. He's like, nah, that club is a basket case. Yeah. There's nothing I can do here. It's a complete shambles.
Vindicating
Gary Neville.
Speaking of... Oh, no, not vindicating Gary Neville. The ex
Cyclops,
whatever of Valencia, ex owner or ex whatever of Valencia, came out recently and said, "The worst manager I have ever seen in my entire life is that English pundit we hired. That one time. He absolutely destroyed Gary Neville. Destroyed. Didn't even refer to him by name, like he was Voldemort.
Wow.
Anyways, let's say with La Liga.
Yes.
And are you guys done with the fat jokes?
No.
Can we move on?
We're gonna continue off air.
Okay. The AFCON.
So, we go from Europe to Africa, the motherland, to talk about the African Cup of Nations.
Mm.
Wonderful intro by Alex to give our listeners a little preview of this tournament.
Thank you.
I love your trip on safari.
Thank you.
So, let me ask you this question. Let's get straight to the point here. Who is going to win the African Cup of Nations?
My money's on Algeria.
What?
Yep.
What? Okay, he's not African. He doesn't know.
He really has no idea.
Both the Africans are in shock.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's two of us. Out of four, so that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah.
You got...
Justify yourself.
Okay. Mahrez?
Sure.
Bentaleb?
Absolutely.
Slimani?
Brahimi? Slimani?
Okay, I mean, start to make a point.
What do you want? let me tell you something, okay? Nigeria's not in this.
I know.
But in the qualifiers... We wrecked them. They are doing horribly. They may not qualify for the World Cup, and the form that they're in is not very good.
Okay.
So if you think they're going to translate that form into winning the African Cup of Nations, you're delusional, mate.
Can you run me through the last couple winners of the African Cup of Nations?
Well, we won in 2012.
Okay.
And then Zambia won.
Zambia won it.
Cote d'Ivoire won.
Zambia.
Well, Cote d'Ivoire won it.
Sure.
But and they beat Zambia. They beat Cote d'Ivoire in the final. Zambia beat Cote d'Ivoire in the final.
Mm.
Algeria were nowhere near it, and they will not be.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's his opinion.
Yeah, yeah. You guys predicted Zambia, right? I'm just checking.
No. I'll tell you.
Burkina Faso. They're going to win it for me, yeah.
Okay. Well done.
All the way from Ouagadougou, bro.
Really?
That's named the capital.
That is the capital, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I think it's really between Ivory Coast and Egypt, so. It's one of those two.
Egypt have no chance.
Egypt just beat Tunisia in a friendly.
Egypt have no chance. Yeah. No chance.
Well, that's what people said when we won it three times
in a row. No chance. Yeah. This is going to be between Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire. Absolutely.
I agree that Senegal are making it far.
Senegal have a really tough group. They're going to... Algeria, Tunisia, and Zimbabwe. This is not an easy group for Senegal.
They will beat all of them.
Huh? Algeria and Senegal will qualify, right? And then they won't play each other for a round or two.
In the final.
So Sadio Mane is going to carry Senegal.
Papa Buba Diop.
He's gone, Richey.
Yeah.
That is history.
I know.
I know you love him.
I just like his name. He's gone. That's okay. It.
Can we talk about Gabon, the hosts?
Yeah. With Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You saw him do something funny recently, didn't you?
Yeah, so in the CAF Awards, it was the finalists for the best player, African player, were Sadio Mane, Riyad Mahrez, who won it, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Shout out to Iwobi for Young African Player of the Year.
Yes.
And then Iheanacho was most promising, which is weird. Isn't that the same thing?
He was there. We had to give him something.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was really funny about Aubameyang was, so his flight came in and his luggage did not show up with him.
Right.
So he shows up on stage in a red baggy shirt and a snapback like he's in a Compton, you know,
club
video or something. I mean, Crips and the Bloods. So that's what he looked like. Compton. There's a song called Compton. Okay. Let's just make this up.
Okay.
Anyway, but that's what he looked like. And I thought, bruh.
Yeah.
This is in Nigeria. This is in Abuja. There are stores. There are malls. There's even a duty-free in the airport. You could have bought a suit to look professional.
Also, if you really, really arrived like 10 minutes ago, take the hat off.
Yes, I agree with that.
Just take the hat off.
I mean, or you pay some guy at the door and say like, hey, can I have your suit?
You literally pay, I was just going to say, take it off his back. He will give it to you.
Yeah, sorry, the guy at the door has a footballer's physique.
I don't know, man. It's better than what he wore. I'm just saying. It's better than what he wore.
I thought he was keeping it real.
Yeah. Aubameyang is so fast he could have ran to the store.
Seriously.
Okay.
Real Madrid could have shipped him a suit just so that he signs their deal.
Oh, it's going to be like Real Madrid.
Because they really want him and he wants them. You know, do him a favor.
I don't want him. It's a one-sided...
His grandfather wants him.
Okay, so that's... I mean, Gabon, I mean, I don't think they're going to go far. I mean, they've got Bissau on their team.
Ghana? Nothing?
Is Andre Ayew alive? Because if he is.
Ghana have issues, man. Like, internal issues. Tons of them.
Like what?
Like internal bleeding.
Okay, here's a bigger question.
What?
For Togo, does Adebayor play?
He's not in the squad.
They don't have elected.
Thank you, Lord.
They don't have what?
I like to stand on.
Why?
I don't know. Togo? Isn't that the thing you bounce on? Togo stick?
Togo.
Oh, close. Jesus wow. Christ. Whatever, I tried.
It's time to go, isn't it?
No, I want to talk more about Africa.
No, I think it's time to go.
Africa.
Ghana is a good question.
Say bye, Mohamed.
Mali.
Dr. Congo.
Meow. Okay, fine. See you guys next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter @under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.